Brethren, I would ask that you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'll read verses 4 through 7, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Paul the Apostle writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." Amen. Let us once again pray and ask for the Lord's blessing as we consider his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we come as your children, and Lord, we confess that we have a passion in our hearts to see you glorified in our lives. And Lord, you have spoken to us in your word, and we pray that you would open our ears, that we would have those ears to hear what you are saying to us from this passage. Our Father, we pray that you would strengthen us by your grace and by your Holy Spirit. And we ask and pray these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you've been a Christian for some time, I trust that you are familiar with these words. And our focus will be on verses 6 and 7, where we read these words that we are not to be anxious. And these words have been a great source of comfort for God's people. And I can bear witness they have been a great help for me in recent days. And I hope to share with you things that the Lord has helped me with, that you too may be helped. When you think of the topic of worry and anxiety, that gets people's attention quickly. And why is that? It's all so common. Not only among those who are in the world, but among the people of God. And this is one of the great challenges in living the Christian life, is to learn, and I say this is something we learn, it's not automatic. It's something we have to work at, that we are to learn not to worry, not to be anxious. And as we come to consider this passage, there are two things we are commanded to do in this passage. Two things. We're going to look at those two things, and then we're going to consider the activity of God. There are two things we are supposed to do, and there is something that God does. Note with me in verse 6. Paul writes to the Philippians, "In nothing," or you can read it, "in no thing, be anxious." In nothing, be anxious. Now, this command is a present tense verb. It's a present active imperative. And what that means is that this is ongoing activity. It's not something you do once and for all. That's your aorist tense. But it is a present tense. A present tense speaks of ongoing, repeated activity. So the command here is do not continuously be anxious or continuously seek not to be anxious. And that's why I say this is something we are to do on a daily basis. This word anxious means to be troubled, to care for something, to be fretful, to worry. So simply put, the command is don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. You may say, well, who can do that? That's true. Who can do that? But that is the command. And the command is given to God's people. And God's people have the resources to obey this command. Of course, we cannot do it in our own strength. And Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But even later on in the passage, Paul could say, I can do all things in him that is in Christ who strengthens me. So this is a tall order. But nevertheless, this is the will of God for his children. And you know, when I'm going through things that are challenging, things that causes me to be anxious and to worry, I stop and I pause and I say, okay, Ken, what is the will of God for you right now? Okay, I have all these things. God's will is for me not to worry. That's clear. I know that that is the will of God, and it is my desire to glorify God. And so I come and I look at the word of God. I have the command before my face, and I say, okay, this is what the Lord is saying to me now at this time. I said, okay, that's the command. Now, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do this? Well, in the following words, we're going to consider these phrases, the manner by which we make our request known to God. Let me read the rest of the verse here. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, the first command is not to worry. The second command, if you look at the verse carefully, the second command is to make your requests, or let your requests be made known unto God. Make your requests to God. And the words that precede is simply describing the manner by which we make our request known to God. The heart of the command is to bring the matter to the Lord. Make your request known unto God. Now, how are we to do this? We do this through the means and agency of prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. So whatever the matter is, now as you sit here, I'm sure that you can easily think of things that is causing you to worry. Things that will create anxiety within you. And the command is that we are not to worry about these things. Now there's a difference between being concerned about something and worrying about it. Worrying is that trouble of soul, that turmoil of the mind, where we review the matter, we roll it over in our minds again and again, and we have this sense of anxiety and panic and fear and turmoil within us. There's a difference between worrying and being concerned about something. I'm really concerned about brother so-and-so. I'm concerned about my children. I'm concerned about the nation. But this command, make our requests known to God, how are we to do this? Well, we do it by prayer. And note what the apostle says, in everything, right? In nothing be anxious, but in everything. In other words, there is nothing too insignificant, too small to bring before the Lord. In everything by prayer. Do you pray? That's how we speak to God. Do you pray? By prayer. By offering up our prayers unto the Lord. You remember Jesus in the days of his flesh, and we read about Jesus in the narratives of the gospel. How often did he come aside alone to pray to his Father? He was a man who had no sin, and yet he needed to pray. He needed to spend time. He needed strength from his Father to do the work that his Father has given him to do. And there were burdens that Jesus carried with him, and he needed to pray, so much so that we read in that hour of his greatest trial in Gethsemane, what did he do? He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful." He wasn't worried. "But my soul is exceeding sorrowful." He was greatly burdened, even unto death. And what Jesus said there in that occasion, he said, "This burden is so heavy that I feel as though I am about to die." Okay, it wasn't a cliche. He literally meant, "My soul is troubled even unto death." And thus, when you read in the narrative, Jesus falls to the ground. He cannot stand up any longer. Have you been so burdened that you had to sit down, you couldn't stand up? Have you been so burdened that even praying? Now, I'm going to tell a little bit on myself here. And I'm not doing it, but I'm just doing it just to help the minister to you. When I was out of work, and the trial was really weighing heavily upon me, I had vertigo for about 4 hours one day, and it went away. The weirdest thing. And you could be surprised how much worry can just really work upon you, and anxiety. And I can remember on one occasion, maybe more than one occasion, I would sit down and pray, and feeling the weight of my situation, that it just wasn't enough. I felt so burdened that I actually, you know what the best posture that was suitable for me was? Laying face down on the floor. I was home alone. And all I could say is, "Lord, help me." That's all I could say. So burdened, so pressed down. All I could say is, "Lord, help me." I couldn't stand. I couldn't sit. I felt so weighted down, so burdened, that lying on the floor, I didn't plan this, but that's how I felt. And when we communicate to God, it says by prayer. There are all kinds of ways of praying. There's these ejaculatory prayers where you pray on the spot. There's these times where you have the season where you draw along before the Lord and you have a special season of prayer. Sometimes you may pray while you're in the car, but prayer, we are to communicate with the Lord rather than letting the burden overwhelm and crush us. We ought to bring the matter before the Lord in prayer. And that's what Jesus said. He said, "Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray." And he fell to the ground. And he prayed and he agonized because he was about to go to the cross and he dreaded that. And he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And we read in the book of Hebrews that he was heard for his strong crying and tears. It's okay to pour your soul out to the Lord in prayer. And it says, being in an agony, we read that in Luke 22, he prayed, as it were. There was, his sweat was like drops of blood mingled with the sweat falling on the ground. We can't imagine what the burden that Jesus felt while in Gethsemane. But he agonized, so you would think, what is happening to him if you saw him? And it says, an angel of the Lord strengthened him. As he prayed, he poured out his soul unto the Lord. You see, rather than let worry just eat away at us on the inside, we ought to direct that anxiety and that worry in prayer, bringing it all to the Lord in prayer, pouring out your soul, unloading the matter before the Lord in prayer. And then he says, with supplication. Supplication, that is, petition. Being persistent. You know, like the widow who went to the unjust judge. That parable we read in Luke. How this judge, he didn't care for the woman. And she kept coming. She was importunate. She was persistent. She was supplicating, you know. Okay, children, you know what supplication is? It's when you want something from mom and dad, and you know what you say? Oh, please, 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 please. Please, you're pleading with them, right? And you're jumping up and down, and you're rubbing your hands together. Oh, please, and you put your hands together, and you hug mom, and you say you're the greatest mother in the world, and all these types of things to get what you want, right? You're supplicating, you're pleading. And this is what we ought to do. We ought to plead with the Lord. We ought to come to God in prayer, but with supplication, pleading with him in prayer. And then with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You know, there's always something for which we ought to be thankful for, even in the darkest of trial. If you're a Christian, it is well with your soul. And that is something to be thankful for no matter what you're going through. You can be thankful for the privilege of bringing your concern to God in prayer. And when we look at our circumstances, it can always be worse than what it is. And so in everything, give thanks. And this is how we bring, this is how we make our requests known to God in this manner, not by venting, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We make this request, our request known unto the Lord. That's what we are to do in this matter of worry. Anxiety. But now I want us to focus on the activity of God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Now this is something that God does. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Now, the peace of God is this peace that comes from God. It originates in God. It's not a peace that comes from the world. It's not a peace that comes from ourselves. And when it says the peace of God that passes all understanding, you ever see a brother or sister, they're going through something and you say, wow, I just can't. I'm amazed at how they're dealing with this thing. I mean, if it was me, I'd be pulling my hair out. And what you're seeing is the peace of God. It surpasses human understanding. Our logic cannot make sense of the situation. But God's peace is beyond our logic. And that's what gets us in trouble, because we think about the situation and we say, well, if this doesn't work, then that means this is going to happen. And if that doesn't happen, that means this may happen. And if that doesn't happen, that means this and the other. And we draw these conclusions. We evaluate the situation and we draw a conclusion and we get ourselves all worked up about something that hasn't happened yet. And maybe all those things are true, but the peace of God is, it surpasses all of that, everything that we can see, and God can still give us peace in spite of that. It passes all understanding, and it shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Now, this term guard, it's a military term. And it is a term for a soldier or soldiers guarding a city. Guarding a city gate from within the city. In other words, they're controlling what goes out of the city. Not so much as what comes into the city, but they're guarding what is going out of the city. So they're controlling those who leave the city. And I thought of the former Soviet Union. When Winston Churchill coined that phrase in the 50s, the Iron Curtain. He said there is an Iron Curtain, with his accent, that has come across Russia. And the people cannot get out until the day when Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And then you see them chipping away at that wall. And they tore down that wall and people was able to get out. And so here this term is, it's the guarding of the heart. The peace of God is like a military guard that is guarding what is going out of the heart. Now that's interesting. Why would that be so? Well, think about this. Where does worry come from? It comes from the heart. Worry doesn't come into the heart. Worry is something that comes from within the heart. It comes out of the heart. Worry is something that originates from within us. The peace of God is something that is originating in God. Remember what Jesus said? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. And on that occasion in Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees were upset that the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. Now, children, this is not saying that you don't need to wash your hands. You should wash your hands. But what they were talking about, there was a ceremony. There was a whole fancy procedure that the disciples were not following in washing their hands. And they said, hey, your disciples are not following the tradition of the elders. They're not washing their hands before they eat. And Jesus said, it's not the thing that goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what defiles a man is what comes out of his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart is envies and jealousies and adulteries and murderers and thefts and all of these things. You know, that's where sin originates. Nobody sins by accident. All sin is premeditated. It comes from within. As it says in James 1, when lust is conceived and there's enticement. Like Eve when she saw the forbidden fruit and she listened to the words of the tempter, this fruit will make me wise. She thought, she used her head. But she was thinking the wrong way because she was deceived. She actually believed the devil, and there was a thought process going on. And as she looked, this is a desirable fruit. It's pleasant to the eyes. And not only that, it's going to make me wise. There was a thought process. And so it is out from the heart that we sin. And so the peace of God guards our heart from worry. In other words, it keeps our heart from misbehaving itself. It regulates the behavior of the heart. And I can think of illustration of this, although this account isn't written this way, when the disciples were on the storm and they saw a figure walking on the water. And they thought it was a ghost, but it was Jesus. You know the account, Jesus walking on the water. And Peter cried out to the Lord. And Jesus said, come. And Peter started walking on the water, but Peter didn't know he was walking on the water. He was so excited that it was the Lord. For a moment, Peter, his eyes was on the Lord, and he just lost sight of everything else that was going on around him, and he was walking on the water until he realized what he was doing. And then he looked at the winds and the waves, and then he began to sink. Or you could think of another occasion when the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was asleep, and there was a storm, and the boat was tossing this way and that way, and the disciples, they thought that they were going to die. It was at night. It wasn't during the afternoon. It was dark, and it was a storm, and they thought they were going to die. And they woke up the Lord, and what did Jesus say? Peace, be still. And what happened? There was a great calm. And that is an illustration of how the peace of God works in our hearts. Our hearts is like a storm when we're worrying. It is a storm of turmoil and strife and pain and fear and dread and even terror. And it is like a storm raging within us. And it originates from within us because we're thinking about things that are happening around us. We see things, we're drawing conclusions, and we're worrying about it. And we have this storm brewing within us. And the peace of God is like what Jesus did to the storm. And the peace of God will come within us and say, peace, be still. And there's a great calm in our hearts. Our circumstances haven't changed. Nothing has changed but what's within us. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Remember Jesus' words, John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God? Believe in me also. Actually, let's turn there because there's some verses I'd like us to look at. Let's turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. That's the storm, right? That's the anxiety, a troubled heart, this storm within us. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And then Jesus goes on to tell them of what awaits them. And then look with me down at verse 27 of this chapter. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. You know, this peace, it comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It's something that is given to us by God. And Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Now, this is when Jesus is about to go away and The disciples are concerned about that, and Jesus is instructing them, and Jesus is filling their minds with truth, with what's about to happen, and the fact that he will come to them. And so they have all these other things to consider in their mind, but the bottom line, it says, "My peace I leave with you." Not as the world gives, and we're going to touch on that. Not as the world gives. And then look at chapter 16. Verse 33. "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." This peace of God, it comes from God. It's given to us. It brings calm to our hearts. And remember what we are to do. We are to take that worry and that trouble and that storm of anxiety. We are to bring it and make our requests known unto God with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. This is what we are to do, and the peace of God will come to us. We are to tell him all our trouble, every detail, and God's peace will come to us. Now, what about the world? What is the world message? What is the peace that the world has to offer? Remember that song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy"? Remember that song? I think the guy killed himself. You know what the world will say? Change the circumstances. You need a new start. Get a new job. Move into another neighborhood. Get a new wife. Divorce her. Divorce him. Just change your circumstances. You don't need to deal with this. No. You know why? You know what's wrong with that advice? Because you take yourself wherever you go. You get a new wife or a new husband or another husband. You get a new job, and there'll be other things you'll be dealing with. The world will say, you know what you need? You need more money. Because if you had money, you can do what you want. And if you had money, well, you know, there's a lot of wealthy people that commit suicide. Money's not the answer. Or the world will say, you know what? Just forget about it, man. Just forget about it. And this is a way of trying to escape. And there are various forms of escape that the world has to offer, to escape through some form of pleasure. That's why some people eat when they're worrying. Eat chocolate, eat ice cream, and whatever it may be, because there's a sense of pleasure. It's a sense of comfort, food for comfort, right? Because you're so stressed. And you need a break from this worry and this anxiety that is burdening you down. And a quick thing you can do is grab something that you enjoy, and you feel good for the moment. But that doesn't solve the problem. That's not the peace of God. People say, oh, I need a drink. Let's go out to happy hour. It's been a very stressful week. Alcohol leads to drunkenness. Sex. Some people look for pleasure in that way. Well, you know what? My life is messed up, so if I can just get some pleasure somehow, some way, become promiscuous, find some type of escape. These are ways of escape that the world try to find to deal with their problems. Sports. Now, I'm not... I'll get to my point. Sports. Being a workaholic, you know, I'd rather stay in the office than go home. I'll just find something to do. And by the time I get home, maybe everyone's in bed and I won't have to deal with them. Music. Now, food, alcohol, drugs, also drugs. Drugs, food, alcohol, sexual intimacy, sports, work, and music. These things are not sinful in and of themselves. They're all good in and of themselves. In their proper place, they're not sinful. But it's when you make these things a form of escape, when you look to these things to deal with your problems, that's when it becomes sinful, because none of these things are intended to be in the place of God in your life. And they become idols. People spend lots of money for counseling. Now, I'll try to tread a little carefully here. Now, there is a place for counseling. There's a book, I think a woman written, I forgot her name, but I like the title, and describing America as one nation under therapy. And people are getting counsel for all kinds of things, because people have not learned to grow up and to become an adult and to deal with life. And so they need counseling for everything. You see, this is how the world, if you're not a Christian, what do you do when you're troubled? Let me ask you that. What do you do when you're stressed out? How do you deal with stress and worry and anxiety in your life? If you don't know the Lord, how do you deal with these things? All right. Some lines of application. The passage is really straightforward here in many respects, Philippians chapter 4. And I wanted to take my time, and I want you to think about these applications, nothing profound. This passage directs us to do what the hymn writer tells us to. We are to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord, my brother, my sister. Take it to the Lord. The Bible says, cast your burden on the Lord. Now, you may think this may be obvious, but it's not always obvious to do this thing. You know, some Christians, they want to just read another book, find a book about how to deal with worry. OK, the top Christian book on worry. Go to a conference and hear a sermon about worry and anxiety. Yeah, I need to go hear that and listen to some tapes. Those things are all good. Or let me run and talk to the pastor. There's nothing wrong with talking to the pastor. But the question is, did you take it to God? We must first and foremost take it to the Lord in prayer. Do you do this? You know, that is very therapeutic when you do that. And this is how Christians develop spiritual muscle. There's a place for counseling. We need pastors. We need mature brothers and sisters. But I tell you, my brother and sister, before you go to seek counsel, take it to the Lord. You know what a good counselor is going to do? You know what a good counselor would do? He'd send you to Christ. There's no magic word that the counselor can say. Now, the counselor can help you think through the situation, but at the end of the day, what they're doing is they're helping you to think through your situation and seeking to guide you by the scripture in terms of the way you should think about your circumstances and the course of action you should take. Yes, a decision has to be made, but at the end of the day, all that counsel should be driving you back to the Lord. It is the Lord that we need. Again, that's why I'm taking my time, because this is not always so obvious. Are you doing that? And when we go to God, we develop spiritual muscle. What are we doing? We're taking the promises of God and we say, Lord, I am stressed out. I am scared. Do we tell God that? And Lord, but your word tells me this is what I want to do. And though I am stressed out and though I am worried, Lord, I want you to be glorified in my life. I want you to be glorified in how I respond to this situation. I want you to be glorified in the decision I make. Lord, help me. You have said in your word that if we come to you with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, your peace, Lord, give me your peace. You said elsewhere, knock and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. And Lord, I'm knocking. I'm seeking. And Lord, I don't know what to do. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, I'm asking. I don't know what to do. I have to make a decision. I need wisdom. And then we're thinking through the word of God and say, well, whatever I do, I need to glorify you. So guide me to do those things, not for my ease and peace of mind, but ultimately that you would be glorified. And in this wrestling with God, like Jacob in the scripture reading, we didn't read that portion, but how Jacob wrestled and he wrestled with the angel and he says, I will not let you go until you bless me, because he was fearful of his life. And there have been times, and I trust that each of us will know to some degree or another, where there have been occasions, brethren, where you've taken a matter to the Lord and you have poured out your soul and you laid everything on the table. And the Lord helped you in bringing the matter before him, and you pleaded and you wrestled and you wept and you cried. Now, it's not always going to be that way. But that is how we grow, the crucible of agonizing and laboring in prayer and with the promises of God and pleading with God that we would glorify him in everything. Whether it's life or death matters, it doesn't matter what it is. We're pouring our soul out to God. That's what the Psalms are all about. When you read the Psalms, that's what the psalmist is doing. He's pouring his soul out unto the Lord. Hymn 533. This is a great hymn. The words. And when you're going through things and when you're wrestling with God and you come to a hymn like this, you say, this speaks to where I'm at. It's a familiar hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. That is, we rob ourselves of the peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. It's a great hymn. So I challenge you this evening, whatever it is, take it to the Lord in prayer. Second line is to remember that God is in control of all things. We are to keep our mind on the Lord. J.C. Ryle said, half the things we worry about never really happen. You find that? 50% of the things that we worry about doesn't come to pass. Wasted energy, huh? The energy that is employed in worrying, that energy should be redirected in prayer. And remember that God is in control of all things. Isaiah 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When we have a problem, God is involved. It's when we try to deal with the problem and God isn't in the picture, that's when we fall apart. But when God is central, and to keep God central, that's what prayer is so important. We bring God and his promises. And even in the following verses, we were discussing on the way here, although I'm not expounding those words, but finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, good report, think on these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. By thinking upon the Lord, having your mind stayed upon the Lord. You know, if you're told that you have cancer, and you're not really sure what the outcome's going to be, and what are you going to do? And I wrestled, and I got to the point with some testimony of other brethren that helped me, and I said, well, you know what? If God's going to take me, all the medicine in the world isn't going to change that. I don't want to die. And this passage has been so helpful, and I thought, well, you know, others have gone through this valley. And I have to believe that the Lord, he is my shepherd. He will not leave me nor forsake me. And if this is the way that I must go, then by faith, I am going to rest on the fact that the Lord will be with me. He will give me what I need in that hour, should that hour come. And just leave the matter at that. And go on with your life. Whatever days God will give you, but we have to trust him. God is in control of all things. Make your requests known unto the Lord. And I remember pleading with the Lord with tears in my situation, in my study, crying out to the Lord. And I got up and I know that God heard me. And I'm not sure what the outcome, but I was encouraged to believe that he would grant me my request. But if not, I knew that the Lord is going to take care of me, whatever I'll have to face. Leaving it, pleading and casting your burden. This is what I'm talking about, brethren. No one can do this for you. We must do this ourselves before the Lord. It's you and the Lord. Take it to the Lord and remember that God is in control of all things. Obey this text with all your heart, and you will know the faithfulness of God. Obey this text with all of your heart, and you will know the faithfulness of God. When the children of Israel was in front of the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was behind them, and Moses was crying out to the Lord, Lord said, what are you crying out to me? Lead the people across the sea. And Moses stretched out his staff, and God parts the sea. And we have to trust that the Lord will provide, although you're in a situation, there's something that's worrying you, you don't know how it's going to be worked out. And that's the problem. And that creates the anxiety for us, right? We don't know the solution. We don't know how this is going to be worked out. God knows. The Lord is in charge, and He knows what He is doing. Our duty is to be faithful and to trust Him, to obey Him, to be thankful for Him, to do what He's commanded us, to pour out our souls, make our requests known to Him, and leave the matter with Him. And we may have to do this every day. Remember the tense of the word, be not anxious. That is, it is a present tense. It's not something you do once and for all. It is a way of life. It is something that we work at. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas was in Philippi. They were falsely accused. They were beaten. And they were in prison. Not knowing what's going to happen to them. And I should submit to you, brethren, that the peace of God flooded their hearts. It wasn't automatic. But note what we read here in Acts chapter 16, verse 24, or verse 23, I'll read that. And when they had laid many stripes on them, that is Paul and Silas, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. So they were in the deepest part of the prison. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. They took it to the Lord. And I suggest to you, brethren, it was the peace of God that guarded their hearts and their minds. And they so enjoyed the peace of God that they sang. They were praying and singing hymns unto God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And then we read, you know what happened? There was an earthquake, etc. There they were, praying. You know the book of Philippians, when Paul said these words, be anxious for nothing. Do you know this situation? Paul was in prison. He wasn't sure he was going to come out. He believed that he would, but he wasn't 100% sure. And it is from that vantage point, Paul is telling them, don't worry about anything. Because Paul has known from personal experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. How can you know God's peace when you're in jail? It defies understanding. And that's why I say, brother and sister, whatever you're dealing with, the peace of God is there for you. Our duty and privilege is to do what God says, to trust Him with all of our hearts and let His peace come to us. What He would say to us, peace
Be still. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side.
Aren't you jealous that God will be glorified in you? Do you have a jealousy that God will be glorified no matter what? We can't do this of our own. And that is why, brethren, I've taken my time. I wanted to rest on these two verses, something that we know already. But I want to encourage you, as well as for myself, this is to be a way of life for us. And for you who are not Christians, I say, how do you deal with stress and anxiety? You could spend all the money in the world for counseling, and that's not going to give you the peace that only comes from God. Come to the Lord Jesus. And as Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not as the world. In the world you have tribulation. In me you have peace. Then he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And because Jesus has overcome the world, we too can overcome the world. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, help us to glorify you in our lives. Help us to have a holy jealousy for your name, that we would be vessels of your praise in the earth. And Lord, we thank you that like as a father pities his children, that you pity your children. You know our frame. You know that we are but dust. With all of our failures and sins of not trusting you and being overcome with worry and anxiety, Lord, we bring ourselves in the mess that we find ourselves in, and we confess and we acknowledge, Lord, that we are weak and miserable. But you are gracious. And you are mighty. And Lord, we pray that you would grant us to know more of the peace of God. That we would live and rejoice in the Lord always. That we would bless your name at all times. That we would be amazed at the grace of God working in us in our lives. Our Father in heaven, glorify yourself in our lives as your people. Help us, O Lord, to grow. Help us to be like the Lord Jesus, that we would offer ourselves in our prayers unto you. Teach us, O God, how to pray. Grant us your spirit and your grace. And grant that we would know greater measures of the peace of God in our lives. And we pray for those who are not converted, that you would grant them your peace, that they may know the forgiveness of their sins and know peace with God, that they would no longer be estranged and avoiding you and hiding, but Lord, that they may come and surrender to the feet of Jesus. We ask and pray these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.